Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Let's freaking go. I want to talk about the LSU linebacker room tonight. To me, this is the weirdest room on the team because when you look at the LSU linebacker room, it is really the only room that did not get help via the transfer portal outside of the running back position on the offensive side of the football. The thing about running back, though, is that you really only need one on the field most of the time, and you probably need a 3 to 5 person room. Whereas with linebacker, especially if LSU wants to play more base 4-3 with Harold Perkins playing the nickel slash star role, you do need depth, and you also need guys that can flat out run. So one very bizarre thing about the 2025 recruiting class is that LSU brought in 5 different signees. That is a really, really, really high number of off-ball linebackers that they signed. And I think they did it for a very particular reason. So you see the names on the screen right now via a tweet. Charles Ross and Jaden Breaker, those are two really can't-miss four-star top 150 recruits. Charles Ross out of Georgia and Breaker out of South Carolina. Ross has been the longest time committed LSU Tiger. He did have a small dip in the recruiting rankings. And Breaker is an athletic marvel, a very fun watch. I actually watched a decent amount of Jaden Breaker, pretty much your traditional off-ball linebacker with some really good athleticism scores from over the last couple of years at camps. So I understand that that is not something that a lot of you love, looking at the 247 athleticism kind of spark scores, but Breaker did really well in those things. So it makes sense that you bring in those two guys. But then you also have Keelan Moses. Obviously, Dylan Moses was his younger brother, also went to U-High, cover of ESPN magazine as a sophomore in high school. He ended up going to Alabama, had a pretty decent career with a ton of injuries. Keelan Moses, of course, went to U-High in your own backyard. And then, of course, a huge U-High commitment is coming up in the next couple of days for the class of 2026. And then you have CJ Jim Coyley out of Tennessee, who played mostly defensive back, but kind of rotated in as a hybrid linebacker type. And then Zach Weeks was a somewhat later addition to the class, the younger brother of Witt and West Weeks. So the reason why I wanted to start today's live stream off with this topic is because I think one of these five guys will find their way into the rotation for a few reasons. Devon Keyes is probably the likeliest of the year one or year two guys to play a lot next year. You also have Tylan Singleton in this room. But what I want to do is for those watching live right now, or for those watching way down the road after the fact, I'm looking at you, whoever you are on this glorious Sunday night, Spotify, iTunes, I don't care how you're listening. Comment below who will be the most productive LSU linebacker not named Whit Weeks. Tell me down below who will be the most productive linebacker not named Whit Weeks. Because this room really is a very ambiguous room. I think the other rooms have some kind of definition of how we think it's going to go, and we would be somewhat directionally accurate. I can make a strong case that outside of Whit Weeks, there really isn't an accurate portrayal of how we think this LSU linebacker room is going to play out. So I just showed you just then the younger guys, the year one and year two players, all right? And I think the most likely of those seven names, I cannot repeat this enough. That is a ridiculous amount of off-ball linebackers, seven in year one or year two. What that tells me is Blake Baker wanted to bring his own guys in, guys that he approved, guys that he recruited, guys that he wants in his own room in only his second year. All right, so that's another reason why it makes sense that you bring in that many off-ball linebackers. Now, what I want to do is I want you to take a look at this room as a whole, all right? Even if you take the young guys out of this linebacker room, and I'll even highlight the names for you here. Are you 1,000% certain that Harold Perkins is going to be an every down player at the linebacker position? I think the more interesting player, because I do think Harold Perkins will be a fine player for LSU once they figure out how to actually apply him to this defense that Blake Baker wants to run. Will West Weeks be someone that you could rely on? Very interesting scenario last year played for West Weeks. got injured, and he was able to essentially redshirt last year to come back for this final year of eligibility. Can we see a world where the LSU linebacker room is Witt and West Weeks as your two primary backers? What I will also say is, with how many good slot wide receivers there are in the SEC and just slot types of hybrid tight ends, I don't think putting a linebacker at the star is going to work. I just don't think it's going to work. It's not that I don't think Harold Perkins could be effective at it. It's just one of those things where teams are just going to stay in 11 personnel and motion him out wide and make him play out wide. Because if you want to play a too high defense, which LSU might not want to, they might want to play single high, you could play most middle of the field close coverages if you like your corners. So the thing is, if LSU gets really good cornerback play, they can live with Harold Perkins at the star because you can rotate a safety down, in particular one like Tamarcus Cooley, who is more comfortable as a slot corner than as a safety, if you ask me, and then have Halsey play the deep safety or Gilbert. If the corners on the outside can play lockdown traditional Patrick Peterson, obviously not to that level, man-to-man coverage, you can live with a linebacker playing the slot, if you will. It's just going to be hard. That's a big ask, right? But Monster Delane, to me, is so much better than any corner LSU had on their roster last year. Obviously, Zy Alexander had really elite All-American level weeks last year, but he also had some tough weeks mixed in there. I do believe in the Monster Delane hype. I do think he's going to be very, very, very good for LSU this next season. I don't think this is a Deuce Chestnut situation where an ACC corner came over and was a disaster. I really do think he's going to be great. And if he's great, and let's just say that other corner, whoever it may be, Jakeem Jackson, maybe it is DJ Pickett from the get-go, which I think a lot of you, if you were to ask your gut reactions, hey, who do I think the best corner will be opposite Monster Delane? I think most of you are going to say DJ Pickett. And guess what? I would look at you in the face and say the same damn thing. I was a big DJ Pickett guy coming out. All right. So whatever the case may be for how you think the defensive back room is going to work out, the linebacker room to me is the most fascinating. It really, really, really is to me because it is very, very, very ambiguous. I think the defensive end room, we have a good idea who the top five guys are. Defensive tackle, I think we have a somewhat decent idea, even though there are a high number of younger defensive tackles coming into this room as well. And it is kind of awkward knowing that Bo Davis isn't here. He swept the rug out from under us going to the Saints. And, you know, it is what it is at this point. A lot of those guys are guys that I like a lot. Dylan Battle out, but I watched a decent amount of Walter Mathis. I find him to be very interesting. I think he could play if you wanted to get weird and run more tight formations. You can, like, his high school tape is a lot of him lining up in a 4-eye, the inside shoulder of the offensive tackle. And that could be a very valuable role if you want to play more tight Arandian types of fronts. But I liked him. I like Brandon Brown. Brandon Brown's kind of been my guy. He's kind of, every year I have a lower ranked 3-star that really stands out to me. And last year I was PJ Woodland. This year it is Brandon Brown. And I like Brandon Brown a lot. And obviously Woodland played a lot to varying degrees of success. And he's also someone that can't be slept on as one of the outside corners that we were talking about a minute ago. So I think Brandon Brown's very interesting at DT, but we have a good idea of who the DTs are. It's your two freshmen that played a lot last year, McKinley and, of course, Ahmad Bro. and then Sudhir Mitchell and Jacoby and Guillory and so on and so on. But at linebacker, that's the main focus of tonight's live stream. There are so many names that you could point to and be like, that guy is going to emerge. That guy is going to emerge. But the guy that really stood out to me, and I'm trying my best to not let this be me overhyping this kid because of his last name. I really liked watching Jaden Breaker over the weekend. I really, really, really did like watching him. And he's a thumbnail image for a reason, because we've just not talked a whole lot about him at all. This was a guy that LSU really amped up their recruiting for. He was a guy that was heavily pursued by quite a few universities. A guy who tests really well athletically. But after watching all five of these guys at length on early Saturday morning, Zach Weeks, I was pleasantly surprised with Zach Weeks. And his tape isn't nearly as good as Witt's. Witt's is still, to me, of the past 5 years when I started doing all my own grading of all the own of every single prospect, high school prospect that comes into LSU, Witt Weeks had the most entertaining high school tape outside of Emory Jones that I watched, and Harold Perkins. That's how high I was on Witt Weeks. Zach Weeks, holy crap, is a lot of fun to watch as well.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Not Witt level. It's hard. Go back and watch Witt Weeks' high school tape. It is redunculous to where we did three different Patreon film studies of that this dude could really be something. Zach Weeks really stood out. Really, really stood out. I like, normally a good sign of athleticism. And I do tend to overweight this. Sometimes it can hurt me. It's one thing that kind of stood out with Brandon Brown. I know you're a good athlete if you're a defensive front seven player and they put you on offense with the intent of putting the football in your hands. Okay. Brandon Brown played a lot of H-back fullback early in his career. Zach Weeks played a lot of tight end last year as a high school kid and stood out, made some ridiculous grabs. That means you have ball skills. That means you have athleticism. That means they trust your endurance to play both sides of the football. And you can make a case those are the two most exhausting positions to play, linebacker and tight end. And Zach did that at a high level with Georgia high school football competition. So he really stood out. I mean, he really, 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 really stood out to me. I did not think it was going to be as good as it was. So let me know what you guys think of the young linebackers. If I were to say which ones really, really hit me, Zach Weeks was probably the best, and then Charles Ross. But I would also say that CJ Jim Coyley had a versatile tape defensively. He really played everywhere. On that defense. He was a fun watch as well in terms of the diversity of his tape. So let me know what you guys think down below. Once again, I'm not Brian Baldinger. I'm not some massive, I like to think my football knowledge is pretty good. Yeah, this channel is mostly built on film studies and these live streams. But Zach Weeks, dude, I was like, wow. D-Payne says, Devon Keys, got a lot of Singleton love in here. What's up, Christopher? Christopher always brings the most energy, showing us some love on Facebook. Brian says, hey, Carter, linebackers are the least of my concern. The growth and development of Ahmad Bro and Don McKinley and whether or not we'll be good on the back end concerns you more. Here's the one thing I'll say before we get to a more lighthearted topic. What is the one position that LSU has gotten wrong the most from the get-go during the Brian Kelly era? Now, that sounds like a really, really, really bad criticism. But the truth is, most teams get wrong who your best players actually are, right? Because you can't tell shit during spring. Your quarterbacks can't get hit, and you're only going up against your own competition. It is the most blind sport that we have, right? I can go to 20 Dan Hurley UConn practices, and I can, with pretty good accuracy, pick out who the best basketball players are. All right? Baseball is a little bit different, but I think in other sports, you can scrimmage. You have preseason. There's, Team USA stuff where you can see how they stack up against other competition. Football's not like that. It's a lot of guessing. So it's okay if you get things wrong. It's not me criticizing the staff. But the one thing that has just not been figured out well at all, really during the Brian Kelly era, is the linebacker. We've not been able to figure out linebacker. All right. So, Micah Baskerville's always been a guy, and that's kind of a holdover from the Ed Orgeron era, that always kind of emerged towards the latter years as LSU's best linebacker, most productive linebacker. Then we had the Omar Spate saga, which was an absolute disaster. We thought, every single one of us thought, he was going to be a really good player. I do want to shout out Skipper in the Discord, and he posted this on Patreon. He actually called me out. It's a card, I do not trust Omar Spate. He's one of the few, okay, one of our patrons. That's the beauty of our Patreon service, is you can call me out on anything, and we have open discourse about the pros and cons of LSU and all that stuff. But I would say probably 9 out of every 10 LSU fans thought Omar Spate was going to be, at the very least, a Micah Baskerville-level player. He was not great. And some of that wasn't his fault. He was injured, so on and so on. And then we still, amongst and across multiple coaches, since the 2022 emergence, we've not been able to figure out the Harold Perkins situation. One of my stronger calls, and it was, I remember saying it on here and on Blake's show, my strongest call going into last year was the emergence of Whit Weeks as a superstar. And he was just that. Now, he had some tough weeks, pun intended. Actually, it wasn't intended. But there are some situations where the linebacker that you think is the better one is not the better one. I like this kid a lot. I will always love the fact that he was on our channel. But a lot of us liked Xavier Debo Atkins. A lot of us did, including the staff. They were like, hey, he's going to be really good. He's going to be someone that we're going to try and rotate in. And guess who started out snapping him towards the end of the year? Devon Keys. So all positions are tough to figure out who your best players actually are. And unfortunately, sometimes you don't figure that out until week 3, week 4, week 5. But linebacker's been one where we have consistently tried to figure out who the best guys are. and it changes. It could change drastically in a very short period of time. So Greg Penn is out the door, and you know, Greg Penn was what we thought he was, an average to above average at times, off-ball linebacker. So we'll see how we replace his snaps. I still don't know, though. Like, I really, as when I sat down, I was like, okay, if I were to pick who the starting linebacker trio would be versus Clemson, it would be Harold Perkins, Whit Weeks, and Devon Keyes, with West Weeks rotating in. But there's no telling at this point. No telling. You know what else the coaching staff liked a lot? And rightfully so. No telling what actually happened to this young man. But DeMario Tolan was someone that they liked a lot, and it didn't work out. He, like Debo, transferred to Auburn, and still unclear what happened to him. Something happened. And I wish him nothing but the best. Tony the Tiger, what's good, man? Yeah, so Omar Spates, is he starting for the Rams? I don't think he's starting, but he did play, and he's still in the NFL. Unless he's with someone else. I should know this as someone that does a lot of NFL stuff. Let's see here. This comes in via Twitter DM from Michael, who says, Carter, CJ, Jim Coyley might not play a whole lot, but I do like him as a special teamer. You know, one guy who had some good special teams reps is a very familiar name, Keelan Moses. Could he be a special teamer? Yeah, Pierce, I think it was something like that. But I don't know. I don't think he's on a roster anymore. So there you go. Now, coming up next, pretty big announcement for one of LSU's favorite players, or one of your favorite players on the roster.
Let's go!
On a journey together with Zion Imaging, I want you to see this experience up close. And me as a wedding and event DJ, I watched how everybody had so much fun with Zion Imaging. And a big reason for their success is the team. Yes, Jaron Thomas and his family started this off as a passion project, and they have one simple goal in mind: taking your event to the next level. Whether it's a wedding, reunion, quinceañera, school, or corporate event, Zion Imaging is all about family-friendly fun. And I gotta show you on this tour the high-level technology that quickly sends your video session to your phone, whether it's iPhone or Android. Yes, it's the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience, serving North Texas, North Louisiana, South Arkansas, Orlando, and more. Give us a call, 318-469-4265. Check us out on Facebook or book us at Zion Imaging, xyanimaging.com. And Garrett Nussmeyer, if you're watching this right now, we will cover your wedding expenses for the Zion Imaging 360 Spin Booth experience, because Garrett is officially engaged. Congratulations, Garrett. If you need a wedding DJ, hit me up. If you need a 360 Spin Booth experience, hit me up. Congratulations to Garrett and Ella Springfield. Under my umbrella, Ella. Look at that. Congrats, Garrett. All the power to you. Here's Garrett at the Manning Academy with the Grootster, Old Chucky. Love to see it. Congrats to you, Garrett. For real, though. 360 spin booth on us. I got you covered, Garrett. Very happy to be partners with the Zion Imaging 360 spin booth experience. Now, I want to talk a little bit, just a little, about two safeties. All right, so we talked about the young linebackers. I want to talk about two safeties that LSU brought in for the class of 2026. Okay, so we all know Deshaun Spears is someone that we all liked coming out of high school. All right. One interesting note is Jordan Gilbert is probably going to play a lot more than you think. It's just what's probably going to happen. Not something that a lot of you want to hear, but I would also defend Jordan Gilbert in saying the USC tape was really good, and at the same time, he wasn't put in the absolute best positions to succeed. But he was an inconsistent player who is not the fleetest of foot, but he loves LSU. He said it in almost every interview. And he's probably going to play a lot more than you think. What I will say, though, is Jace Thomas and Jacob Bradford are fun watches. Jace Thomas at Destrehan played a decent amount of quarterback last year. So he was moved around quite a bit. I love the way he tackles. He made a lot of really fun goal line types of stops. He's also a sub 11 100 meter guy, so he's got really good speed and really good genetics. Son of an NFL stalwart. Played for the Saints, his dad, for a very long time. So Jace Thomas is someone that I like a lot. And Jacob Bradford, you know, his younger brother, who's a five-star recruit, going to Ohio State next season unless LSU does something, is very interesting. You know, when you watch him, he looks like a 6'1 or 6'2 player, but he's listed at 5'11. But sometimes a corner's build, not all 5'11 builds are the same.
Life is unpredictable. But how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's policygenius.com.
Bradford is a thicker corner, and you guys know that I like my college football players thick. It gets quoted out of context. It's happened recently, and people are calling me suspect, all those different things. You can meme me all you want. Thickness matters in the SEC. It just does. So Bradford played a lot of corner at Catholic High. And not only did he play corner, they had him on the receiver. I mean, his toes were in the neutral zone quite a bit. So in very difficult coverage positions, and he just made plays. A talented punt returner as well. And then Aiden Anding. Are you kidding me? One of the better punt returners you'll see at the high school level. A guy I feel you know, only played two seasons of varsity high school football. A guy who went toe-to-toe versus Trey Des Green in a state championship game and won quite a few of those battles. So a very competitive guy, talented guy. You know, as a basketball player, he was more skilled than he was athletic. Hit 7 threes in a single game. So the ball skills for him are ridiculous. Is this younger defensive back room going to be better? Because if we're going to be direct and honest about recent defensive back classes, a lot of the four-star or better DBs have just not cut it. Quite a few of them. And that's not good. Eventually, that's going to catch up to you. Whereas, and this is even considering the portal and all of it, you go from 2010 to about 2018, 2019, there are very few top 100 to top 150 four-star DBs that just didn't work out. And if they didn't work out, it was because of injury or, you know, Jalen Mills was blocking them or somebody really good. So, you know, there weren't, because we're going through and I'm doing my grades for Patreon, and these normally take a little bit longer. There was a lot that I liked from watching. So, you know, it's really hard to just be special when I sit down and watch it. It's hard for me to say, hey, this guy is going to be special. But I am talking myself into a lot of these younger high school players potentially being something for LSU. Another thing I do like is because there are so many transfers that have been infused into this roster, they don't need to be as good or they don't need to be productive right away as you would think that they need to be for LSU. We say hi to PHL patron Tyler. What's up, Mick? It's been a while since Mick's been in here. Good to see the old pup. Mick hates me now. Joseph, the incoming freshman linebackers are too light. They need to redshirt and put on about 15 to 20 pounds. Oh, I will also say that linebacker types have just gotten lighter. Who remembers old Derry Beckwith? Dude was a unit. Lamine Barrow, unit. Unit. You've lost 100 pounds? Well, Mick, I'm sorry about your depression. I've been going through it, man. This offseason has been hard on your boy. So we got your back, man. This is a PHL crew. Let's see here. I wanted to talk a little bit tonight, and it's kind of random bringing this up, but I wanted to talk about something that I referenced and tweeted and touched on briefly about the LSU defense, right? Because this has been a very defensive focused live stream tonight. The one thing I feel that gets way undersold from the college football media is so much of who you are defensively simply comes down to who you are playing offensively. So let's talk about the three levels of football really quickly, because when we talk about football, we tend to, you know, think defense really comes down to who you have on that side of the football. And sometimes it does come down to that very thing. But as my football mind has developed and as more rules have favored the offensive side of the football, oftentimes the key to your success defensively just comes down to who you are playing offensively. So next season for LSU, the worst ESPN QBR quarterback that they play is DJ Lagway. Of the returning quarterbacks, of all the Power Four quarterbacks that LSU plays next season, the worst of those quarterbacks, per my favorite QB stat, which is ESPN QBR, is DJ Lagway. Y'all, I just did a poll recently of all of my Twitter followers, and they voted DJ Lagway as the best SEC quarterback we'll play next year. So while LSU does not play a Johnny Manziel, and while LSU in the past has played really good quarterbacks at an extremely high level, LSU shut down Lamar Jackson. They shut down Johnny Manziel twice. The one undertold story from that era is there was also a lot of pure ass at quarterback. Just flat out ass. Hot dog water at QB. That simply does not exist on the schedule this year. I think Talen Green is very flawed. I think Diego Pavia might be a little more buzz than he is actual good. But what I can tell you is those guys are at least good. So I went through, and what I decided to do to really look at this is count how many under 65 QBRs LSU would play last year or have played in years past. And in the 2007 national championship season, a defense that we would all beg and plead to have now, that defense played 7 quarterbacks of the 11 Power 4 games, or Power 5 at that time, teams that they played. 7 of those QBs had a QBR of 65 and below. This year, LSU plays 1. And that is DJ Lagway, who will not have a QBR under 65 this year because he was a true freshman playing hurt last year. Now, we don't know what Austin Simmons' QBR was last year. We don't know what Ty Simpson's QBR was. It does exist, but the sample is just too small. The truth, though, is so much of those yesteryear LSU defenses, they played a lot of ass at QB. Like I said, they also played a lot of great ones. But what has happened is in the SEC in particular, with the transfer portal existing, if your quarterback is hot dog water, it is very easy to turn that in to Diet Dr. Pepper, a soda that most wouldn't consider to be the best, but most would consider to be at least good. And I love Diet Dr. Pepper, actually. But point still remains the same. So, you know, that because I get this so much, what do we have to do to bring back that LSU defensive swagger from a long time ago? What do we need to do? Well, sometimes there's not a whole lot you can do, because the other team's offense is really good. Now, I think two things are true, is that we did not have the personnel defensively, and I've said that repeatedly over and over and over. But the quarterbacks are just better than what they were then. And the perfect example of this is Oklahoma. So last year, the worst quarterback you played was Jackson Arnold. And I think his worst was a pretty wide margin from all the other worst. because a lot of those guys you played last year are back this year. Jackson Arnold was the worst. So with the portal being the way that it was then, Oklahoma from yesteryear would probably have to run it back with Jackson Arnold this year, who we know is bad. And for some reason, Auburn thinks he's going to be good. Now, is Jackson Arnold, a five-star quarterback, going to have a better season at Auburn? I don't know. But the truth is, 10 years ago, Jackson Arnold would probably be returning for Oklahoma as its starting quarterback. But now with the portal, Oklahoma said, look, we're tired of this. Let's go get the best QB in the portal. And that's exactly what they did. They got a package deal with that QB and his offensive coordinator. It's that easy to fix that position now. All right. Every year, there's two or three good graduate transfer QBs. Obviously, LSU got two of the best of all time in recent years. But John Mateer was not a graduate transfer QB. So I say this because Blake Baker, and I understand I'm a big Blake Baker defender. I've criticized him, but I've mostly signed off on LSU going to get him. That price was really high, but whatever, I'm not paying it. You're not paying it either. The truth is, Blake Baker doesn't get the opportunity to go up against Chris Relf. All right, and if you can't say which team Chris Relf played for, then that is my entire point. He doesn't get to go up against Keel Frazier. You shouldn't know those names because that's how bad they were as SEC quarterbacks. So it's really, really, really hard to have that dominant defensive performance like you used to have. It's really, really, really hard. Let's see. Let me find. All right. Let's see. Right now, in the chat, tell me which team did Tyson Lee? This was an SEC quarterback that LSU got to play in back-to-back seasons at Mississippi State. Which team did Tyson Lee play for? What about Perry Orth? Who remembers the Perry Orth SEC era? Huh? 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 See, it's tough. What's up, LA Mom? Good to see you. Oh, man. Who remembers the Perry Orth era? Good to have you back. You just don't get those. Joseph, what's up, bro? LA Mom is dying for some tackle football. Kareen says, I want to talk about Alabama football recruiting. Alabama has land did 5 5-stars in the last 10 days.
Life is unpredictable. But preparing for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. They offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to policygenius.com. That's policygenius.com.
All right. A lot of credit to Kalen DeBoer, but more so their NIL and organization. Give them a lot of credit. LSU has had a really, really, really good couple of weeks recruiting themselves. Nobody's been hotter than Alabama. Georgia also had a really good couple of weeks. Oregon, obviously, recently. But it's a weird time. You know, I saw a top 100 recruit skip out on us and more notably Ole Miss for Sacramento State. I also saw a five-star receiver pick Syracuse. Syracuse. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Alexander says, John, you want to talk some Chief? Chief was good. Chief would have his issues over Lenore Sellers as well. Hello, Mom. All right, here's what we're going to do. Next 5 to 10 minutes, I'll answer as many as you possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it moving. I kind of want to go late. I'm supposed to have dinner with my wife here tonight, but I don't give a damn. But we always talk about like personal stuff a little bit later in the live streams. I went swimming for the first time in a long time today for a little workout. And I get bad swim ear because I've had a few ear surgeries. But man, swimming is so much fun. The weird thing about swimming, though, is like when I'm in the water, I'm having such a good time. But it's also my biggest fear. My biggest fear in life is drowning. It is my biggest fear. Okay. But like swimming is so underrated in like so many ways. Like it's just burning so much cardio. And I got to swim with some family earlier today. And man, I freaking love it. I freaking love it. It's just me and the water do not mix. And like I was good. I didn't feel the swim ear or water in my ears or anything like that. I did one more jump when I was getting ready to leave. And you always know that one more jump. It's kind of like in poker. When you play that one more hand, you're about to drop a big one. And when I got out of the water, I was like, I couldn't even hear anything. It was just like sloshing in my ear. Let's go to Alexander. Lamar Brown, in his opinion, is going to commit to A&M on the 10th. All right. It is indeed true, like we mentioned earlier with Keila Moses, that Lamar Brown will announce where he's going to go. Weird situation with him in that he is an athlete, labeled an athlete. But normally when it's an athlete, it's like a quarterback who's also a DB, who's also a receiver. But in this case, this is an offensive lineman who's also a defensive lineman, which is rare. Could he play both ways? I don't know. The truth with Lamar Brown is, as we have seen the trench price go up, number one trench player in America, getting close to $2 million from Miami. We had the Ojo kid go to Texas Tech, and he get $5.1 million guaranteed over 3 years. Lamar Brown can name his price, basically. He is a five-star. He's been the number one rated kid at one point, but you know he's a consensus top 20 five-star. So of the five stars, he is amongst the best. A lot of U-High kids in the past have gone to other schools, and a lot of them have stayed home. It just feels like a lot of them have gone to other schools instead of LSU because it just hurts since they are really in your own backyard. But honestly, a lot of the time, is it money or scheme or whatever? Sure, it could be. But there are a higher number of kids that don't want to go to school in the city that they live. And some UHigh kids like Dylan Moses and Tim Washington, or Tim Williams, excuse me, they've gone to Alabama instead of going to LSU. Jordan Gilbert himself went to A&M and came back to LSU. So we'll see what happens with Lamar Brown. We will. Wherever he decides to go, though, I don't think it's going to be the be-all, end-all of his career. Because we saw Dominic McKinley, five-star trench player, commit to that school, A&M, picks LSU in the grand scheme. We saw Harold Perkins pick A&M, picked LSU in the grand scheme. So there's plenty of these five-star Louisiana archetypes that have gone to other schools, picked other schools, and ended up coming back to LSU. George, good to see you. Yeah. Tyler, but here's the thing, Tyler. And Christian, it's a good point as well by Jacoby Matthews. And it's always crazy to me. It's Matthews with one T instead of two. That used to get me all the time as well. Okay. And I'll share a few things on the Jacoby Matthews thing. Last UHigh player that was a high draft pick, that's a pretty high bar to clear. But it was Jaqueline Roy. All right. So, I know Christian. Technically next month, but kind of 8 weeks. But that, I'm not going to hate you for that, Christian. I'm just not. Look. Yeah, George, we're all high on the baseball team. Really quickly, shout out Paul Skeens, Alex Bregman, MLB All-Stars. So, do I think Jacoby Matthews could play a lot for LSU this next season? Yes, I do. I do. All right. Now, this is where I am as honest as I possibly can with each and every one of you that are watching this program right now. Okay, whoever you are. I don't know anything about Jacoby Matthews' specific situation. But as many of you know, he has friends on the LSU football team. He has played a successful game, boots on the ground in Tiger Stadium, obviously in 2023. Don't you think Jacoby Matthews, who is desperate for a football home to play somewhere after basically not playing at all last year, don't you think LSU at a position of need, safety, would have taken Jacoby Matthews if they could have? Yes. They would love to have him. But I would trust them in this situation more than I would trust basically a lot of people, because they're going to have more intel on Jacoby Matthews' situation, because it is bizarre in your prime year three season. You're just not playing anywhere last year. There's something. I honestly don't know what that is. So, you know, whether it is health, whether it's something different than that, I really, 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 really don't know. But there's not a certainty that Jacoby Matthews is even going to play for Auburn next season. Yeah, you could commit and sign somewhere, but that doesn't mean he's actually going to step foot on the field for Auburn. Now, if he does, he's probably going to be a good player, because he is a really talented, athletic, amazing player. If he was a part of the LSU class, he would have had the coveted 8.0 grade that I give to players that I really, really, really do like a lot. I really loved him in high school. when he committed, I stopped in the middle of a target and did a recruitment video. Okay. But yeah, Christian, I do think, though, freshman awards are a little misleading. Denver Harris was also a freshman all SEC All-American kind of guy. But I do think there's something else. I have a tough time believing. And I honestly don't know. I've tried to figure it out. Nobody's told me anything. But I would like to think that it's something, because it would make very little sense that LSU didn't pursue him. I don't know. Because he can play. But Alexander says he's academically ineligible. I've heard a lot, but it's just not, he's not at LSU. It's just not really that big a deal for me. Oh, it is a big deal because I do think he's good, but. I see another QB rankings here. I just have a tough time seeing DJ Lagway in the top three of pretty much every QB rankings. So this is Michael Bratton, big SEC personality. Josh Pate has DJ Lagway number one. This Talen Green ranking is also very, very, very high. Blake's also really high on Talen Green, too. I don't know. As someone who does a film study on him every week, buyer beware there. That's all I'll say. Sellers better than Nussmeier? I can see that. And there are days when I do think Sellers is the best quarterback in the SEC. It's just hard for me. DJ Lagway, hamstring injury last year, weird shoulder injury during spring, 57 QBR, two very iffy performances at the end of last year versus Florida State and Tulane. The Tulane tape was not good. It's quarterback has been an old man's game. And I just think Lagway is a little overvalued. I see the hype. I will also say this about DJ Lagway. The first half versus Ole Miss is some of the best true freshman quarterback tape I've ever watched. It really was that special. So you see the upside, and I think that's why a lot of people have him where he is. It's just hard. Pierce says Jacoby Matthews, the burnt bridges, was a bridge too far. Huh? But yeah, Ellie Mom, it's a lot of this stuff that, you know, I've said here. It's not that I'm not high on him. I would probably have him 4 or 5. It's just like, I will say, I would be shocked going into 2026 that he isn't a top three guy or the number one guy. I'm just saying it's really, really, really hard to play at an elite level as only a year two QB. There's just not many. The best QBs have been the older guys. Like, the guy that everyone considers to be the best going into next season. And I think if you were to poll most of the college football experts, They would say Cade Klubnik or Klubnik would be the number one quarterback going into next year. All right, so Cade and Lagway are very similar. Both are amazing runners. Both were the consensus number one five-star QB. Cade stunk in 2023. And stunk is a strong word, but he wasn't good. He was average as a first-year starter. That didn't mean in 2024 he didn't turn into one of college football's best quarterbacks, because he was one of college football's best quarterbacks last year. I just think it's hard to have Lagway rated so high when you haven't seen real growing pains. So, you know, that's where I would push back. But holy crap, I will say, including Garrett Nussmeier, first half versus Ole Miss was some of the best quarterback tape I have ever seen. It really was that good. Like, the throws he made versus that defense, holy crap. I would take the ball. Actually, no, I take that back. I would defer. But what would Brian Kelly do? Brian Kelly is pro receiving. And then you say Josh Pate is overrated. I don't think he's overrated. I don't think he's overrated. Thunder Road says RIP Diogo Jota. Yeah. Yeah, I've done a live since that happened. So for those that don't know, I'm a big Liverpool fan. And Diogo Jota is a Portuguese soccer player who passed away in an automobile accident over this past week. And just a week before, he had gotten married. He had also won the premiership with Liverpool and so on. Won a cup with Portugal. So the guy had the best month of his life, and then he dies. And that is life. You know, we've all... Obviously, we've not died, but, you know, you can have some of the biggest moments of your life, and then the next day you just get, like, the absolute worst news. Haley went viral on social media. We saw Justin Timberlake, and Justin Timberlake gave her a high five at a concert. Next day, she gets the news that her dad is really sick, and obviously he died. A month and a half later, it's life for you. So, you know, it's just one of those things. We had a viewer earlier share something, you know, sad. It's life, you know. You hate it, but yeah, you just got to keep pushing. And if you're going through something right now, and obviously a lot of us are, you know, going through hardships, you know, those that have deceased or are very sick or whatever, they would tell you to make them happy to keep pushing. I think Diogo would want all Liverpool supporters and teammates to keep pushing. It's a really, really, really sad story, though. You know, for perspective, I had someone ask me about him earlier today. You know, it's not quite to like the shock level of like a Kobe Bryant, because he wasn't like that caliber of player, but I mean, he was very good. He was very good. To use an analogy for Liverpool, he was like the, I don't know what the good, a good point of reference would be. As far as like how great he was, but he was like the first forward off the bench for us, first or second forward, and he was very good off the bench for us. So it stinks. Hold your loved ones tight, and there you go. Yeah, this LSU defense should be good. It's just I worry about the quality of opposition that we'll be playing this year, and it should be pretty good. Now, that'll do it for me. We appreciate all the viewers, and I get a little report here from YouTube. It says 63 of y'all are watching right now, and 204 are watching amongst different platforms. Yeah, obviously, I want to be in the thousands, which might be unattainable. But please share this live stream. And if I were to put something on your heart right now, think of that one diehard LSU football fan that you might know and share our film studies, live streams, all that stuff. Share the stream with them. No super chat tonight. It's all good, baby. LSU. Boom. Shout out to Zion Imaging and the 360 spin booth experience. And don't forget to check out the Fast Draft Fantasy app. If you really want to support PHL, download Fast Draft, sign up now with the promo code Carter for a deposit match bonus up to $50. And tonight we are doing chicken spaghetti. Let's go.